Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Amen. Let's see John from verse chapter 16 from verse 33. Let's read together. One, two, go. It says, "These things I have spoken to you. In the world you will have tribulation." But he said, "Be of good cheer." I mean, be of what? Good cheer. Take heart, be excited, have a good character, keep the right character, I mean. Because he has what? Overcome the world. But certainly he said you have tribulation in the world. You have circumstances around you, surrounding you. You have stuffs around you, good or bad around you. But what did he say? Cheer up amidst all of it, because he has what? Overcome the world. So what should be your consolation amidst trials, circumstances, tribulation? What should cause you to be cheered up, to be okay, to be excited? The Bible says he has what? I think this is where Jesus stood from and said these words that I have written to you so that my joy may be complete in you. Alright? He said, I have written to you so that my what? My joy will be complete in you. You know, many years ago, or some time passed, I said one time that if you understand God's word so much, one of the things it will impart in your spirit is something that works like a shock absorber. I don't know if you know what they call a shock absorber. If you are trying to get into gallops with a car, if your shocks, if they are good, you will not really feel the gallops. Alright? But if they are not really good, you will what? Feel the gallops. You know you are entering gallops. It's supposed to make sure that you don't feel the impact of that bad road. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what happens if you truly have understood God's word. You'll be cheered up in any situation. You'll be cheered up in any circumstance. See what he says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as it is what common to man." Give me the TPT very fast, then I'll come back here. The TBT rendition. It says, "We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God," you know, well, I will go back to NKJV, because the word testing, you know, some of these translations were, some of them are actually, you know, assumptions. Some of them are okay when the people assume, and some are actually wrong. So we'll have to put things in place. Because why I decided to go back to NKJV was because I'd seen a scripture where God said in the book of James that he doesn't test us. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? He says there's no temptation. So when we say testing now, in the TPT, it's making you look as if it is God that is tempting you. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? But when we say temptation, we're saying circumstance around you. God allows it. Okay, he's not the one that causes it or steers them up, but he allows it. And this is why he allows it. He said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. But God is what? Faithful." Meaning anything you are going through today, the Bible said it is common to man. God is seeing it that it is supposed to happen. That is why it happened. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That if it was beyond your power, he would not allow it to come. He said, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." You see that? In other words, anything you see yourself struggling with, God is saying, it is because you are able to rise above it, that is why I'm allowing it pass through you. He said, but with the temptation will also make the way of what? Escape. That you may be able to what? Bear it. In the original, many years ago, when I was trying to do this part of scripture, it is more like what John said in the book of James. I mean, James said in his book. He said, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptation. He said, because I miss it, God is going to make sure you are strengthened. Are you get what I'm trying to say? Not like the temptation is going to strengthen you. No. This is what happens. When God allows the temptation around you, it is because, and that temptation came, remember Matthew 13, I think it's verse 18. It says, but can I see that part of scripture? I did it on Sunday, second service, if I'm not mistaken. Is it Matthew 13? That said, because of the word, tribulation, 21. Okay, let's see. Matthew 13, 21. Let's read it together. It says, yet, okay, trying to explain something, right? But endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of, alright, so we didn't really get the heart but of the scripture, but we wanted to get our point there. The line 2, half of the line 2, you see, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, what we want to get here is the fact that the tribulation and temptation and persecutions arose because of what? The word. And I gave an illustration on Sunday, I don't know if you remember. I said, I remember one time I had a vision and I saw many demons. Many demons, and I couldn't see the end of the demons. And the Lord spoke to me and said, this is how much Satan wants you down. It's very, very true. Because sometimes, even if you don't feel you are important, a lot of times you may not even feel you are important, but God thinks you are important. See what the Bible says about the birth of Jesus. Was it Luke? They were doing a drama the other day, was singing or something. Luke 2, around 21. Let's see from 21. See what the Bible said about Luke, about Jesus' birth. It said, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Next part of scripture. Then the Bible says, now when the days were of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Next part of scripture. Then the Bible said, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Next part of scripture. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said to the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Next part of scripture. I'm going somewhere. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was who? Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. See what the Bible said? What was he waiting for? And the Holy Spirit was upon him. I told you about the Spirit upon before Jesus, you know, came and paved the way by his death, burial, and resurrection. It was more like the Spirit comes upon people, gets God's assignment performed, and leaves them for a while. Do you know what I'm trying to say? But the fact, the point I want to hit is that they said the birth of Jesus was a consolation of Israel. Alright? That the birth of Jesus was what? The consolation of Israel. Not even Mary saw it like that. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And even if she actually believed it, somewhere along the line, while prophecy was getting started to be fulfilled, she became normal. If you see the way she spoke to Jesus, if you see the way she wanted life to be, you understand that she truly had forgotten what the angel told her about Jesus. At one point, she was looking for him. She didn't know it would be that fast. At age 12, he was preaching, isn't it? And when she found him, he said, woman, don't you know I must go about doing my father's business? Can you remember? And if you even read further, I think this part of scripture, it showed where the Bible says, and his sword will pierce her soul. Is it in this part of scripture? Let's read together so that we, I don't know if it's down here. Is it down here? 26. It says, 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he will not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Next part of scripture. All right. Mark that word. Jesus' birth was what? The consolation of Israel. is a child. But see what they said about him. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, next part of scripture. You know, I was telling you last Sunday in the first service that Jesus attended a church. All the rites, all the kind of rituals that were supposed to be done were done, isn't it? You know, when I was a child, they said they baptized me by sprinkling water on my head. So Jesus too went through all the rituals, but he came to actually scatter what they were trying to do for him. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Are you people alive in this church? Very important. One of the things God was telling my heart while I was coming to church this evening, he said, my people have to be confident to stand with my word. Many people have suffered in life as Christians because they've been tossed to and fro. Why? Deceitful ideologies. Why? From man's wisdom. If you look at that scripture vividly, verse 15, it says, the reason why they are tossed to and fro is because they are holding on to deceitful ideologies that comes from the wisdom of man, either directly or indirectly. Sometimes it comes from the wisdom of other men. Sometimes it comes from the wisdom of themselves. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And that's why their lives have been tossed what? To and what? Fro. I think people get what I'm trying to explain to you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Lord, help me. For instance, remember, you think why Paul was growing up, he didn't have people he really regarded as fathers in the faith? You think he didn't have? Paul had. In fact, he respected them so much. One of them was Peter. Hallelujah to Jesus. In fact, God didn't just say he should be alone. When he had the encounter, the Jesus encounter, God led him to meet, who was that? Huh? Who? Alright. So God led him to meet him, and hands were laid upon him. He became filled with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Began to see, isn't it? Huh? Then he started teaching. He was quite rejected, you know, to an extent by some of the disciples. He kept on respecting them. The reason why God wanted Ananias to lay hands and all of them is because he didn't want Paul to think he's not that Paul was not unique. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But he didn't want Paul to start separating himself and feel that he's bigger than anybody. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Even though what Paul did, everything Paul did, and Ananias did not do even half of it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I'm not trying to judge that I see nobody, but trying to be very factual. Alright? Now, there were people who were more like fathers of faith to Paul. Alright? And to show you that he was not foolish, he went to Peter three days and night, the Bible said. And now, this is after Paul had went 3 years in the wilderness to study the scripture. Had several encounters that made him Paul. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? When he came back, he didn't just climb the pulpit and started shouting. He still went to Peter 3 days and night and explained to him his beliefs, his understanding of the word. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain? And of course, Peter gave him the right hand of fellowship. Some did not give him the right hand of fellowship. Peter had to bring peace. Alright? And somewhere in Galatians, if you can remember, Paul said the reason why he didn't went to some people was because if he had gone to them, the truth of the gospel would not be truly preached the way he wants to preach it. In Galatians 1. Are we together? Can you remember it? Let's see from verse 6. We're going to come back here. Amen? I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who had called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Let's follow scripture. It says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They trouble you and want to what? Pervert the gospel of Christ. Satan is working very hard. Should, in case you don't know, he's working what? Very hard. Say that to yourself. Want to go? Satan. He's not powerful. Oh. He's working what? Very hard. Working very hard to make sure that everything God has designed to be should not be in our lives or through our lives. I want you to know that he's working very hard. And if I say Satan is working very hard, then you should understand that Satan can even inspire people to make sure that you don't fulfill whatever God has said about your life. He will inspire people to make sure that your mentality is altered, so that the right programming is distorted, and so that God cannot flow through you and for you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. Look at what Jesus told Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." The closest disciple to Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Okay. Imagine the closest person to me in this church. Probably like Peter, who had gone through the thick thing with me and etc. And one day Satan speaks or flow through that person. Now listen, that simply means it doesn't matter who anybody is in your life. If they just give Satan the slightest chance, he will flow through them. This is how much Satan means business. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you tonight? Please listen to me very, very well. I sense a strange anointing to share this thing I'm sharing with you people this evening. That's how the devil behaves. The slightest opportunity he has, he will try to flow. And that's why the Bible says, give Satan, Paul speaking to the church, he said, do not give him a foothold. Not even a space to just put his leg. Don't even give him. Alright? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. The closest person to who? Jesus. He will flow through the person immediately. There is just, you see, the most interesting part of that scripture was that Satan, Peter did not tell Satan, see me here, use me. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, Satan, use me against Jesus. Alright? Another most interesting part of that scripture is that Peter was not against Jesus even emotionally. He loved Jesus from the depth of his heart. Look at the statement just before Jesus condemned him. Is that before the what? No, that's not even it. I'm trying to remember. The words Peter said, Jesus said something. He said he was going, okay, he said the time has come, isn't it? Alright, the time has come for my crucifixion, blah, blah, blah. And what did Peter say? No. I'm trying to paraphrase. Not when I'm alive. It cannot happen. This is the same person that plucked off somebody's ear. You know, some may say Peter then became a stupid man. He didn't. He was still a very nice person. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Peter never opened his mouth or somehow sat down and planned the death of Jesus and said, I'll deny Jesus, blah, blah, blah. No, he was cool. He was living well. Alright? And suddenly, Satan will flow through him. But somehow Jesus figured out that was the devil. Peter was nice. Emotionally, he was okay. He said, Master, blah, 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 blah. We'll not allow you. We'll not allow you to die. No, not when we are alive. Trying to paraphrase. What did Jesus say? Now, Peter meant those words for good. But Jesus was hearing some emotional things that will alter God's plan for his life. Are you people getting out and trying to explain to you? Are you listening to me carefully? It happens every time. It happens. Somehow Jesus just told him, get behind me, Satan. Get. I'm sure. I was just wondering, how would Peter have feel? Imagine you were Peter. You meant good for somebody and said, get behind me, Satan. How would Peter feel? That again, we can learn from it. That if you want to go far in life and fulfill anything God has put on your life and in your life, you must not really care how everybody thinks about you. Is the truth. You know why some people couldn't do so much in 2024? They really cared so much what people thought about them, or were thinking about them, or think about them. Their actions are a product of how, you know, they'll sit down, try to imagine what people would think, what people would think if they do it, what people would think if they don't do it, blah, blah. It will all determine their action, those thoughts. And that's why they couldn't do so much. As long as you're trying to live for people, you are living for people, you will never bring out the best in your life. Just these two lessons I wanted us to see there. I was trying to strengthen the fact that Satan is working so hard. Are you here? He's working what? So hard. The slightest opportunity is his. And Jesus, oh my goodness. What a man. What a glorious God. He was more sure of his strategies than anybody's strategies. He believed more in his systems. Now, Jesus knew that it is not possible for anybody to claim to love me when what it takes to love me has not been really ushered into the earth. See what the Bible says in 1 John 4 and 19. Let's see it together. 1 John 4 and 19. You're going to come back here. It said, we love him because he has first loved us. You see that? That means nobody can love God until he understands that he understands how much God has what? First loved him, and how did God love us in his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. I hear people get out and try to explain to you. That's how God loved us. That means if we don't encounter the love of God in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, there is no way we can truly love God. Now, but here's a man, Peter, claiming he loved God and saying that he would do anything for God. All right? Do anything for Jesus. Protect Jesus from his death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, protect Jesus from what it would take for him to be able to truly, properly love Jesus. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And what would Jesus say? Satan, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. Alright? I was teaching someone, I told my friend that if you claim to love God without the understanding of his death, burial, and resurrection, it is the devil working through you. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you check it, that's religion. That's religion. Religious people are people trying to love God. They want to force themselves to love God. Their nature does not support what their desire wants. Alright? Paul spoke about them in Romans 10. He said, firstly, pray for religious people. Romans 10 and 1. He said, my heart desire and prayer for Israel is that they should be what? Saved. You see that? Then verse 2, he said, I bear witness that they have a zeal for God. They have desire for God. He said, but that desire is not according to knowledge. You see that? He said, and for that reason, I mean, they've created for themselves another righteousness that is not anti the righteousness of God. What did I tell you that is discernment? Discernment is not the difference between good and obvious bad, light and obvious darkness. Satan will not come with two horns. He's so smart. He knows you will figure him out. It is the difference between wrong, right, and almost right. What is almost right to true Christianity? Religious Christianity. And that's why he loves religion, Satan. I hear people get what I'm trying to explain to you. Are you all here? Why? Because he knows that if he comes through the covering of religion, people will not figure him out. He can still be doing his stuff, yet nobody will discover him. Are you listening to me? And that's why we can look all cool, look all religious, and all of a sudden, you will hear that a pastor or a reverend was caught somewhere drinking alcohol to steeple. Or that the youth of a church, I grew up in a setting like that, want to have a party. You would think it's a holy party where they pray scriptures, you know, pray not the other. But it's actually the kind of party they do out there. I hear people get what I'm trying to explain to you. And you're wondering that they want to really live for God, but they want to be cool with the world too. You know, just 2 weeks ago, I saw a bishop in Usher's concert. Right? I don't like condemning people, but I saw it. It was funny to me. Amen? Usher's concert. You know what the bishop was doing? He didn't just attend and hid himself and say, I'm not a bishop. He attended and laid hands on Usher. Now, he was imparting Usher, making the world understand that there's a calling on Usher to make people understand the love of God in a unique way. Don't worry, if I feel like I may post the video for you on WhatsApp. I showed my wife, she said, speechless. That's what she just wrote. We couldn't believe what we saw. He laid hands on Usher. Said, many people don't know your true calling, that your calling is that you make the love of God known to people in your songs. And I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I can't believe it. Just this morning I woke up, I was still going through Facebook after praying, and I saw how that a church were playing Wizkid. Yes. The pastor said they should play his best song. And they played it. Are you people surprised? Am I the only one seeing these videos online? There's one time I almost insulted. You know, I almost sinned. If not sinned, sir. I saw a pastor. You know, the pain is that you say you are a pastor. If you had done that thing under another name, there's nothing. Nobody disturbs anybody if they do anything without the name of a pastor. Because they will understand that you are just a human being. You can't do that. But when you say you are a pastor, you do it. You are causing trouble for some of us.
Some of us cannot even introduce our name as Pastor so and so again in this Nigeria. Because when you say pastor, people begin to even suspect you the more. They feel like you are the worst. The pastor was celebrating his birthday and Davido was performing for him. Now, is Davido bound for hell? That's not what I'm saying. Is Wizkid bound for hell? No, I'm not saying that. I'm sure God will help them somehow. Maybe you or me or somebody somewhere will preach the gospel to them one day. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? We are not condemning them. But we understand that that part is not a righteous part. Obviously. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? See, there's nothing more painful in Christianity than to see some so-called Christians behaving worldly. If they had said they were not Christians and were behaving worldly, fine. But the worst part of it is that they want to make people feel like what they are doing is right. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's the most painful part of it. See what Paul said about them, I think, in 1 Corinthians 10 and 5. Paul spoke about people like that. 1 Corinthians 10 and 5. He says, but... Alright? Is it 5:10? Okay, 5:10. Switch it. 5:10. In the Amplifier edition. Alright. So let's see from verse 10. Firstly, Paul said, not meaning the immoral people of this world, or the greedy ones, and or idolaters, for then you will have to get out of the world and human society altogether. Well, this is not the rendition I wanted, but let's read verse 11, our focal point. He said, but actually I have written to you not to associate with any so-called Christian. You see that? Brother, if he is what? Sexually immoral. Or what? Or what? Devoted to anything that takes the place of God. Or is a what? Who insults or what? Or otherwise verbally abuses others. Or is a what? Or a what? You must not so much as eat with such a person. Paul is not really against sinners, those who are obviously sinners. Paul is writing to people who call themselves Christians, alright? And they feel like it's okay to live this kind of lives. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? They call themselves Christian and they feel like it's okay to be sexually immoral, an idolater, drunkard, and etc. Paul said, run away from such folks. In fact, don't eat with them because they are more dangerous. The ones that are obviously sinners, in fact, are better. That is why Jesus in his word said, he said, firstly, he was talking to the Pharisees. He said, anybody that is sick is the one that deserves a doctor. Try to paraphrase, right? Then he says, if the light in you be darkness, he said, oh, how what great is that darkness? Meaning Jesus is like, a people in a greater darkness are not those in the world who have not even encountered Jesus. They are those who are so-called Christians, of course, with the wrong perspective of who Jesus is. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Some assumption of the knowledge of God in their head. Because assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. You don't assume the knowledge of God. Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians 1:18. He prayed for us to know. The word know there is epignosis, to accurately, precisely know the word of God. God can help you to accurately and precisely know him. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? In fact, he created us to know him. In his image and what? He created us to know him. They are more dangerous. And if we keep on keeping quiet, I was traveling somewhere telling you about Paul and some folks in his days. I mean, Paul had challenging situations like this. For Paul to be able to bring true revolution to Christianity, he had to just stand out somehow. He knew that he would be criticized. He was not fully accepted. In fact, he called himself the chief of all sinners. And here is God speaking so mildly through Paul. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Yes, God trying to bring a new day for Christianity through the same Paul. And of course, it was understandable why some of the disciples were not believing him. But somehow God made him to have favor with Peter, who was the head. And even Peter said the things that Paul, our brother, writes to us are quite disturbing. That's what Apostle Peter said. He said they are quite disturbing. He said they are very difficult to understand. Didn't you see it in the Bible? 2 Peter 3:16. He said they are quite difficult to understand. He said, but they are the truth. Then he warned people. He said, be careful how you understand it. Else, it will even destroy some of you if you misunderstand it. Yeah, Peter even warned us somehow. He said, in fact, it is even better you don't understand this thing at all than to misunderstand it. Else, it will become for your own destruction. Just like some people telling us that no matter what you do in the flesh today, does not what? Matter. And if you stand as an opposition to these truths, they will make you feel like you are a useless person. In fact, there are some online, I've heard a man of God online, that if you stand against, you tell him that when you say, he says things like a smoker who is born again can go to heaven if he dies. And if you just try to say anything, no, the other day I saw him insulting another man of God. He said there's one man of God that said salvation is not eternal. I was laughing like a chameleon, like a foolish waity. I said, can you imagine? Yes, he said salvation is transactional. I was laughing like a coward. Now, if you truly were teaching the truth, why is it paining you? And you are calling somebody coward for opposing you. You people are seeing what is happening in Christianity. See, there's no way we can hide this sin. The disgrace is too much. Before, we would have hidden these things and not talk about it so that you can have respect for pastors. But you see, we have come to a point that it is you and your Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to believe God's word, if you don't want to walk with the Holy Spirit and understand God's word for yourself, you are going to be in big trouble in these days. And I'm telling you, it's getting even worse. We thought it should be better. It's getting worse. Christianity is in crisis. We can't deny it. And that's why I was using Paul as an example. When Paul was growing, when Paul arose, when God lifted Paul up and wanted to use Paul, Christianity too, he needed to bring revolution somehow, because even the 12 were having some kind of dispute regarding some practices. If you read the book of Acts properly, not just reading, look at it properly, do the exegesis properly. Some of them were arguing baptism. Some of them were arguing some certain rituals that the Pharisees used to do. Paul somehow just came and brought so much clarity. He was so wise. I think in 1 Corinthians, while he was writing in 1 Corinthians, he said something around 18:19. He said, he doesn't baptize anybody with water, but he is not against people doing it. And somehow he now said, he knows he's not supposed to be, but he's not trying to forcefully stop anybody from doing it. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's wisdom. You know, there's a way if you want something to really get into the hearts of people, you don't come and start trying to enforce it by force, even if it's the truth, and insulting the people, especially people that have been there before you. And it's not like they are evil people; they are good people. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? For instance, now as Paul rose in his days, was James a bad person? Even though James, according to what James was one of the person that opposed Paul, but James is not a bad person. I don't get what I'm trying to say. And to a very fair extent, it was understandable. I mean, it was quite understanding why he had to what? Oppose Paul. How can somebody who was killing us stand up and say he's an apostle? All of a sudden. Paul never wrote and said, that guy is from the devil. I'm from God and he's from the devil. He's an idiot. Paul never did that. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Paul never insulted Peter for practicing baptism. Peter was practicing it. I mean, I want to tell you the truth. Paul was very far in understanding that Peter. It's not a joke. I'm telling you fact. See what Peter said to even help you understand. How many of you know Paul is from God? If you believe Paul is from God and he was speaking words from God, then hear what Peter said. He said, speaking about these things as he does in all of his letters, in which there are some things that are difficult to what? Understand. Now let's start from verse 15 so that you know we're talking about Paul. Verse 15. It says, and consider the patience of our Lord, his delay in judging and avenging wrongs, as salvation, that is allowing time for more to be saved, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to what? The wisdom given to him by God. Peter is saying that what Paul wrote was based on the wisdom given to him by who? God. Next part of scripture. Focus, everyone. He said, speaking about these things as he does in all of his letters, in which there are some things that are difficult to what? Understand. Which the untaught and unstable who are falling into error twist. You see that? Now, mark these first words. He said, some things he wrote are difficult to understand. If Peter said what Paul wrote were difficult to understand, then you understand that Paul was very advanced in what? Knowledge. Are you people getting out and trying to explain to you? This is one of the ways to just know. Alright? But Peter, being a humble man, and to show you, this is not, God does not pick a leader by, do you understand what I'm trying to say? By the abundance of light and etc. No. Alright? There are virtues that make for you being a leader. He said, in which there are some things that are difficult to understand, which the untaught, meaning if you don't properly understand it, and what? Unstable, who are falling into error, twist and misinterpret, just as they do to the rest of scriptures, to their own destruction. There's something to learn here again, that if you misunderstand scripture, misunderstand the word, it will get you destroyed. You are the one that will carry yourself and give Satan and say, destroy me. Believing a lie is you paving a way for Satan to come into your life and get you destroyed. That's why you must not misunderstand the scriptures. Are you listening to me? Are you seeing that? That's why you must rightly divide the word of truth. Are you guys here tonight? Are you understanding me tonight? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Peter said they are difficult to understand. Now, if Paul, for instance, alright, if Paul, for instance, felt like loyalty and submission and humility was him succumbing himself to the teachings of the fathers of faith in his time, the teachings, whatever they knew, him just, you know, grooming himself within the parameters of their understanding, if he felt like humility should be that, then how will we have the things we have today? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Do you people truly understand what I'm trying to say? If he felt like everything Peter knew was what he was supposed to know, because Peter was the father of faith, do you think we'll know what we know today? Do you think Peter often come to a point where he's even applauding him? No. I'm sure even Peter, somehow, we're going to ask him in heaven, but somehow, I can tell you that even Peter was quite disturbed when Paul started. From his writing, you can tell. Because if Peter can say the things are quite difficult to understand, that means when Peter started hearing it, he would have been like, what is this guy truly saying? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But somehow he believed it. But when Peter looked at it very diligent, I'm sure God made him a leader for this purpose. Somehow you see a balance between our generation and the generation passing away. That even though we are full of light, God knows why these people are ahead of us. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Then hear the words of Peter. He said, these things are quite difficult to understand. But he said, the things he's saying is by the wisdom given to him by what? God. Somehow learn from Paul too. Paul did not stop saying it. He kept on saying it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Are you seeing the balance? If you're not careful, you think like Paul was stubborn. No, he was not stubborn. He knew what he was saying. He knew that this is the wisdom of God. He kept on pushing. Look for a day to even see Peter. To tell Peter. You know, one time I was listening to Pastor Chris and he said something that really hit my mind. He said, when we were growing up, I'm going to say in some ways that he didn't literally say it like that because of what I learned from it. He said, of course, Bishop Bensi Dausa was everywhere. He was very unique. And the dream of every young minister in his days, especially, he said, was that a minister like that preaches for them. He said, but that was not actually his way of doing things. But he had a vision and he saw Pastor Bensi Idahusa preaching in his fellowship. It was a fellowship. So, because of the vision, he decided to go and invite Bishop Bensi Idahusa. And when he went there, they said he had gone He was not in the state. So he told the wife everything and the rest. And when he came, he asked to see him. So he came and he said Bishop Bezidasa was surprised that he came to invite him. So he said to him, I want to invite. He said he didn't even tell him that the Lord said. He just went to him and said, I want to invite you for our program. So he said in his heart, if this is really God, it will work. If it's not God, then I'll go. And Bishop was surprised. And he said, what time is it going to start from? He said, it will start from 6 p.m. He said, what time do you want me to come and start preaching? He said, by 7 p.m. No, it will start from 6 p.m. And I want you to come by 6 p.m. Yeah, I think so. So Pastor Benzin said, okay, I'm going to come by 6:30 or 7. He said, no. As Pastor Chris said, no. I said, okay, 7. He said, no. When should I come? He said, 6, sir. So he was really shocked that Pastor Chris was telling him even the time to come. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So he said, because of your mindset and your faith, I wanted to test you to see the kind of person that you are. But you were so bold. I'm going to come for the meeting. So he came for the meeting and everybody was shocked. Prayed and left. So he was sharing the story to tell people about boldness. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And truly standing for what God says you should stand for. He said, some people think he was stubborn, but the reason why he said it the way he had to say it was because of what he heard from the Spirit of God. And it worked out. Now, what I'm saying right now is it me trying to teach you how to be stubborn? No. He wasn't stubborn, but he may seem like some sort of, because he was trying to be persistent on what God said to him in the secret place. Are we together? So somehow it may be misinterpreted for some of us right now rising, that what we are sharing may lead people in error. You know, in BSU many years ago, they felt like what I was sharing was going to make many people to sin. And it was error. You know, I heard there was a group called JCCF that were against my teaching. They literally were not happy I was sharing the things I shared. And it was because they were all from the same denomination, I guess. And like I'm saying about Peter and Paul, if Paul had said everything I'd heard from Peter is what Christianity is all about, will we have the things that Paul has written to us today? No. There was a time something happened just so that you learn not to mock. A man of God, a very dear man of God in this country. Of course, we grow in light, we grow in revelation. And at that time, he said, if you don't tithe, you wouldn't go to heaven. Alright? That if you don't tithe, you wouldn't what? Go to heaven. Now, I don't consider him to be a fake prophet, a false prophet. No. But I knew that statement was not right according to the character of God's word. Are we together? I didn't come out to truly condemn or anything. You know, I think before I even apologize, you would have heard me say, that's wrong. I think I've said that several times. But the painful part of it is that I couldn't speak against it. But I saw some young ministers. They stood up with microphone and were trying to defend the statement. Listen carefully. They were trying to what? Defend the statement. In fact, they were quoting scripture to defend the statement. He's not a false prophet too. But that's a wrong understanding of what submission and loyalty is to God and to any man. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Meaning when I deviate from scriptures, don't follow me. That's what Paul is saying. We're not called to follow men. We're called to follow God through men. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Or we're called to follow God. And of course, God has made sure that a lot of things is going to pass to us will be through men. In fact, salvation came through a man too. That is why the fivefold ministry were given to us, so that we become what? Perfected. Of course, so if you cannot remove man in the equation, there's no way. If people are going to get saved tomorrow, it will be through you and I. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? But he said, follow men as men follow Christ. And I found that I found that's so disturbing. Like, why will you try to defend something that is false? Something that is wrong? So I told my friend, I said, there's a problem there. If our loyalty gets to a point where we don't even care whether it is right or wrong, we just want to support a man, something is wrong somewhere. It will be difficult to really reveal Jesus in our generation. I didn't even get what I'm trying to explain to you. It's quite disturbing. Follow me carefully. Alright? Now, one time I posted again on my Facebook about a certain statement about tithing. You see why you need to know God for yourself, right? Are you seeing more reasons? The person said, and that is why if you observe, I make sure every time I don't even give voice to that understanding. Because if I've done my training for you, it is your own duty to go and verify. If it's wrong or right, stop. If you think it's right, continue. Are we together? The man said, he's a man of God. He said, Adam left Eden because Adam touched his tithe. Now, I was so mad when I heard that statement. That Adam left Eden because Adam touched his tithe. I couldn't believe what I heard. I remember I went to Mama T. I started quarreling, talking to her. I said, why would people be behaving like this? That's like giving Satan. In fact, if the devil wants to hit the church, you have given the devil a good space to hit the church. I said, that's wrong. Very, very wrong. How can Adam leave Eden because he ate tight? In fact, what was tight in Eden? Where was he mentioned? Was anything like that mentioned? I said, that's terrible. Now, if somebody now rises and start insulting that man of God, firstly, the man of God has even opened a door for even people that are fake only to stand up against the church. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? I mean, there have been people who have been standing up against the church for many years now. Some of them are even bloggers. That statement alone has paved way for Satan. Please follow me carefully. And you will not even know what to say. You that is in the middle, or on the fence, you will not know what to say. Because the man of God is totally wrong. The people have seen a reason to really condemn the church. And they truly were condemning in that season. Many people stood up against him. I don't consider him to be a false prophet. Are we together? But the statement paved the way for Satan to really give a bad name to Christianity and pastoring. There are little things we do that impact wrong. You know, like what I said about that pastor inviting Davido. The pain was the effect it will cause on Christianity. A lot of people that are growing up now as pastors, young ministers, will think that one day they can invite Whiskey to come and perform on their birthday. I went to passed there, but I heard things happening there. Somebody came and confessed to me, a young pastor. You need to hear the things they are doing there. That they will be in the church prophesying, his boys will go and plant charm in somebody's shop. And now he's repented. I'm sure God is helping him so strong now. Heard one of our messages and told Pastor Ed he wanted to talk to me. And when they told the woman they planted charm so place, she went and dug it and she saw the charm. And of course, she'll bring money. I'll come and keep at the master's feet. How that they will carry coconuts, buy coconut, and said, you tell somebody your picture has been buried in the coconut. We want to break, they will break a coconut, the picture will come out from it. Told us all the strategies they used to do. In fact, he said he has changed water to wine before. He said he showed me how they used to do it. That you just join this. Before you know, water will change to wine. Crazy stuffs. Then listen carefully. I don't like to say this so much, but he said these words to me. He says, sir, I've sat down in a place in Nigeria here where I saw men of God drinking. I said, drinking? I said, sir, can I mention it? I said, no, don't mention. It's okay. He said, I haven't performed one miracle that happened in this nation. Sir, I was part of the performance. Pastor Ed knows the story. Just that he can never say it out because we are not supposed to say it out since he has repented. But so that you learn. I said, things like this happen. He said, very well, sir. I said, so how did you get to know about me? He said, he sat down somewhere drinking. He was taking stuff as a man of God and smoking and thinking, contemplating, committing suicide. According to him, he said, this is not what he wanted to do for God. And listen carefully. Do you know the guy didn't actually start ministry with the mentality of living like this? That's what he said to me. He said, sir, I didn't start ministry to lie to people. I don't even know when I started all of this rubbish. I said, can you think of why you started this? He said, sir, all I can remember is that there are some people we started looking up to. They are making us understand that ministry should be about money, this, that, what you have. He said, they are the people that lured me into these things. You see that? Wrong people he looked up to. So he wanted to prove that he was succeeding in ministry. So he had to start lying to people and doing all of this rubbish. He said, that's how he found himself. And when he was tired of everything, he had to go and sit in one beer parlor, start smoking and drinking, and contemplate. He said, he had even bought the things to kill himself. When somehow he was on Facebook and saw one of our short clips, I was wondering, how can this young man be he's young and vibrant, blah, 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 and the words hit him. And I think more than 2 days, asking for my number. I said, give him. One of the days, the person said, if you don't talk to me, and I die, my debt is on your head. So I said, give him my number, because what kind of statement is that? If you die, your debt is on my head. I said, give him my number. Whether it's the devil, let's talk. That's how he said that came from his state to come and see us. Watched him, saw everything. I was, wow. Things like this happen. Again, listen, he didn't start with the intention to be a false prophet. Are you listening to me? He didn't start with that intention. You know, we see things like this happening. You think you are a Christian to really have money? Huh? Hallelujah to Jesus. This thing, God will give it to you. Of course, faith is the victory. If you have faith for it, you get it. But is that the focal point of Christianity? Now, I'm not saying this so that you settle down for poverty. Either way, is not good. Are you listening? You know, some people, as I'm saying this now, they'll be getting consoled in poverty. That's not what I'm saying you should do. But I'm telling you that God did not die, was buried, and resurrected so that you become rich. Haba, Jamaah. You go to a place that every Sunday they are talking about oil of favor, oil of gladness, breakthrough service. You can never be effective as a Christian in such a place. Because your eyes are on rubbish alone, rubbish, money. You can have such a mentality. Have you thought about going for missions? What do you think about that? How do you think Christianity came to us in Africa? You think people just sat down, they wanted to be doctors, they are John Gillick, pursued their doctorate degree, professorship, and somehow blew the gospel for us, and it came to us in Africa? People traded a lot of things, their ambition, to see that the gospel gets here. Now, I'm not telling you to run away from being a doctor or a lawyer. That's not what I'm saying. But I want you to understand that there's more to do beyond getting money in Christ Jesus. The goal of the kingdom is not that you be rich. No. It's to reach the unreached. As a pastor, I know that will say the billions yet untold. There are a lot of people that have not heard about Jesus. If you see us pressing every day, press in prayer, fasting, and even in our work, trying to make money, of course, the center of our making money, praying and fasting, is not so that we have only a comfortable life to live with our families and, you know, siblings and the rest. No. But so that we are able to push the gospel. Are you listening to me? Push the gospel. Push this message to reach everybody. And if you truly know you have the truth, You will not have this consciousness of activity as a Christian. You know, some people want to be everywhere. They want to release album. They don't even know why they are releasing the album. I can tell you, a lot of people releasing album that don't even know the reason why they are releasing album. Because some people release, they want to release too. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? A lot of concert people are doing magnitude no direction. Even the songs we are singing, it shows there is no direction. Somebody is a Christian, dressed worldly, singing worldly. In fact, hear the lyrics of the song. It's all about money. Oil on my head, money on my hand. This one, money, 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 money. You know, I heard a song one time. I regretted ever hearing that song in my life. Anywhere I see that song, I'll block anything that will make me see it. I saw the video on YouTube, coincidentally. The people were dressed like unbelievers. And here comes the lyrics. Evidence is everywhere. I said, firstly, you are all dressed like unbelievers. Now, I thought you want to talk about Jesus. Of course, I shouldn't expect them to talk about Jesus. The next thing is evidence is everywhere. Now, I'm wondering. The people in the villages, are you listening to me? In fact, some of them like that, you can't invite them to villages. They don't even know what they call mission. If you invite them to a village to come and preach, they may die there of mosquito. These are things you think about when you pray. These are things you should see in your head. God, what should I do for you? Are you listening to me? What should I do for you? I tell you the truth, me and my children, we will enter and go for missions. It's not a joke. I will teach them this part. You think I'm raising children just to carry them to Japan, Mexico, America? They'll go and sit there and be saying they're in the glory. You think that's what I'm planning to do? If we don't do things like this, we cannot preserve Christianity for the next generation. Are you all listening to me? Are you all understanding me? It's not about money. Now, am I saying don't make the money? No. Work out your making money. Work it out. In faith, in hard work, work it out. Make the money. Pray and fast. Get anointed. But of course, you understand that the focal point of these things is not for the world. Are you listening for me? Listening to me. It's not for worldly gain. It's for kingdom expansion. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Are you here? Thank you, Holy Spirit. So you see, you have to be bold. Like Paul was bold in his days. You have to be bold. You have to stand for what is right at all costs. Stand for it. Stand for it. Let me tell you something. There's nobody that have the keys to people's hearts in this world. Nobody has the keys. He said, open the gate so that the righteous nation that keepeth the truth may come in. Nobody owns the gate. If people had the keys to people's hearts, you would not be seated here today. Some of you were even spoken to not to come here. You were. But are you not still here? You think it's of your own design? Nobody is in charge of people's hearts in this world. Some of you writing songs. Some of you who have the call of God on your lives, preaching and etc. Make up your mind to become exceptional. Are you listening to me? Make up your mind to become the best version of yourself. Stay with the word of God. Pray the spirit of excellence to bring the best from your inside. Wherever you are given an opportunity to explore what God has put on your inside, do it with the whole of your might. Don't look down on that opportunity. Whether it's a cell, whether it's a fellowship, whether it's a home Bible study. Are you listening to me? In an evangelism, do it with the whole of your heart. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little is faithful where? In plenty. Are you listening to me? Very important. Glory to God forevermore. This is why Jesus in his word said the path of the kingdom is quite narrow. It's narrow. When you are saying it, a lot of people may think you are unwise. You are not wise. What is he saying? In fact, his own is too much. But it's the truth. It's the truth. It is not all that glitters that is gold. Think about it. It's not about concert and albums and etc. What is the impact it has on people's souls? What is the impact? We are claiming that we have so-so branches of so-so church in this nation. We are doing BB concert and blah, blah, blah. Whatever concert, the biggest in Africa and the rest. Even the people coming there, where is the change? Even the state, where is the impact? That same state is a state where they did election and some people were behaving like touts. If over so-so million will gather there, in fact, the ones that are misbehaving in election, they were there too. The ones that will see light and vote darkness were there. Are you listening to me? How can the change come? Somebody may be asking. My spirit will say, work on yourself. Serve whatever God has put on your inside, the best version of it to the world. Serve it to the world. Work on yourself. Stay with the word of God. Enjoy diverse seasons of your life. Are you listening to me? Seasons of plenty. Seasons of small pots that I've learned to manage in all of the seasons. Hallelujah to Jesus. Of course, that's the purpose of Christianity. So don't be aiming at worldly stuff. No, do not. You're going to have the best things of life. Expect it. It's not bad. Are we together? But this is the sole purpose of what? Christianity. To reach the unreached. So that one day when we say, okay, you are traveling for a mission, blah, 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 you wouldn't be feeling bad. And of course, I always tell my minister's friends when they come around, I said, when God wants us to start something, it is obvious. It will become very, very obvious. I said, we are going to do missions, but we will not rush into missions. Of course, there's time for what? Everything. If I want to do missions, I want to have nothing less than 5 bucks on ground. So when we are moving at once. Hallelujah to Jesus. But to prepare men for it, yes, we will. That's what we are doing as we are teaching right now, isn't it? Who here will say go for a mission and you say, no, I'm not going? Do I have anybody in this place? Of course, we are all ready for it. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is what Christianity is all about. Not that you are visioning stupid things. And you see, if Christianity is a means of making money for you, alright, you will not truly like what I'm talking about right now. Because you'll be aiming. For instance, you know, one time I was speaking against something that was happening. Before you know, I think a woman of God in Abuja started talking about it. It's so funny that there was a time, not trying to mock, alright, that everybody wanted to have a church in Abuja. Everybody. Some of us sat down and said, why? Of course, the reason is very obvious to everybody. Now, another time came, everybody wanted to have a concert in US. You see some gospel artists post that US booking, you can start now. I'm looking for money to go to US. Meanwhile, there's Otukpo and Okpoga around you. You don't even need up to 150 to go there, rent sound. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And sing to the glory of God. You know, when I talk like this now, some people will be thinking I'm old school. No. There's one time we went somewhere to preach that has more of Idoma people. Then the guy was singing in English. I didn't touch him. I said, be wise. He was like this. I said, sing Idoma song. The goal is not to come and show people you came from Johannesburg. The goal is to preach Jesus. So, say this thing in the language the people understand. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? That's why you observe. If I go to a setting where I see that tea people are plenty, I will touch somebody that knows tea song. I say, raise one tea song. So that their hearts are opened. You can't be saying, I lift my hands in humble. Da, 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 da. What's that song? You're reigning on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my clothing is. And all the women and the men there who are thief are wondering if you are very, very stupid. Or you go to an Idoma place and you are lifting hands and saying song. You know, maybe you are singing, Mete me kona, Mete me kona. Bazanji soroba. You know, as Fulani is disturbing them, they may just carry machete. I want to cut your head. It's not like that's Hausa is now a bad language, but is it profiting them? No. What is the goal? That people understand you. Some of us will go to setting, we'll see people, they don't really look learned. You see, in the third heaven, the dimension, ascendancy, you start saying big things. Then you now think they are hearing you. Some of them will stand up and do. They were impressed with your English. Even you, the man of God, you know these people are getting foolish now. Because you have not even landed and you're like, yay! You know, one time I opened Facebook and I saw a dear man of God. I used to know him. When he came to town, you know, it was not so long after I started. I was still on campus. He came to meet me and the rest. You know, in his own words, he said we were going in the same direction. So he wanted to learn from me. And we were quite close until I observed some things from him. So I told him, you have to stop this. You have to stop that. It's right. And he said, no. He doesn't just want to preach the gospel. He wants his stomach to be filled too. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he has to do things that will bring people according to him. I said, well, no problem. So I cut off immediately. I don't waste time. I cut off from the relationship. And one time I was on Facebook, he had changed different styles. So one day he messaged me, he said, sir, I tried teaching the word, people left church. So I cannot continue teaching the word though. I said, so what do you want to do now? He said, I want to come back to the prophetic. I said, you tried teaching Jesus, people left church. You want to come back to prophetic. I said, are you not seeing that you are in trouble? He said, so I cannot be losing people like that. I have to do something that will bring them back. So he went back to prophetic. Then after, I started hearing some scandals. One or two scandals. Because see, people don't have the word of God, so they start misbehaving. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And he was concerned. Of course, that time I'd already cut off. So I didn't know what was his next strategy until one time I saw him on Facebook and I observed he has copied these new apostolic things. Now he's talking about Monera, candlestick, the dimension where beyond the second heavens, where before you get to the Monera, there are seven angels, one of them, his name is Thunder, blah, blah, blah. I was just hearing some kind of vain things. And I was like, what is wrong with this one? I begin to plug into the realm of the immortal. I begin to toss dimensions, the seven stones. One represents, there are three dimensions of the angelic. This one is mad in the spirit. And in his mind, he's breaking Rema. These are things Paul warned against. Before you know, even you as a man of God, you start deviating. Because what you are saying, it's just high sounding nonsense. What am I trying to say? You want to teach the gospel, teach the gospel. They tell you to go and start a cell. You are talking about gain ascendancy, breakthrough, dimension, and portals. What are you breaking portals for? Teach the basic truth of God's word. Are you listening to me? Have you ever read Ken Hagin's book and you are hearing the realm of the immortals? Huh? Have you ever read Kenneth Copeland's book and you are seeing the mystery of the Monera lamb. Hallelujah to Jesus. Or you read E.W. Kenyon's book and you're hearing dimensions and potters. Funny. And these are things people are shouting about. Are you listening to me? That's why when we are done with all the activity, the land still remains the same. Nothing changes. So guys, if you know what is true, stand with it. Are you listening to me? Stand with it. Even if you are not popular yet. Are you doing Christianity to be popular? Stand with it. As a child of God, you should be dead to a lot of things. Are you listening to me? Paul stood with the truth. See what we're all enjoying today. He stood with the truth. Be mature, disciplined Christians. Are you listening to me? Mature and disciplined. You know what it means to be mature and disciplined? While we're growing up, I remember all my friends, almost all, not all, if we have not made people to fall down under the anointing, we don't feel like we're started teaching the word of God. We don't even feel like the meeting was successful. So anywhere we're invited, whatever we're done doing, we have to make everybody go down under the anointing. So as I grew up one time, I observed that the people always going down are the people always going down. And I observed that there was really no change. Especially when one got pregnant. And that one goes down more than anybody. So when she got pregnant, I said, God of mercy, this girl that always goes down under the anointing is pregnant. And guess who made her pregnant? The one that slays people under the anointing. And I said, this is a joke. So the guy had to cut out for a while. Stop ministry for a while. She had to cut out too till the baby came out before she continued. Now listen, I'm not trying to mock her. God bless her so wherever she is. I remember the same lady. That's why you have to be careful as a young minister. If you're growing, you have to be very, very careful. Ladies will come around you. Oh my goodness. And sometimes you think you are fine. You are not fine. It's Satan that is sending them. What did the Bible say? Because of the anointing, he made his word. He loved thee. Because of the anointing. Not because of your big head. The anointing. I came back from school one time. Just this small remedy as I started. That time, I came back. They thought I've arrived. You know, if you're in remedial, you'll be praying. When they are telling you are in school, you'll be praying for God to help them to know what they are saying. Because you have not actually started school. In fact, there's a high probability that you will not even start school. So, you man, you are very careful. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So if you have ever done remedials, you understand what I'm trying to say. You'll be living like a university student, but you know you are not truly a what? Certified university student. So I'll come back and be humble and the rest. And she came close to me and said, pray for me, sir. And lifted her hands up. So I was close to one of my boys. I said, let me teach you that people are fake. I said, close your eyes. She closed her eyes. And I told him, watch now. People can be fake. So I said, God Almighty, let nothing flow from me in the name of Jesus. So I told him, I said, just touch her head. He touched her head. She rolled 360. We know nothing flow from us. We are locked as spirit. Somebody said, well, sir, things just flow from me. Even if it is a lie, nothing flow from me. She almost broke a plastic chair, went under a plastic chair. Then she started prophesying. Guess the prophecy. Man of God, Simon Thomas, Thus says the Lord, that you are going to be a great man of God to the nations. You take that your type has never been seen. Now, before she said that, may I believe I'm a great man of God. Are we together? It didn't move me. So people were just turning, I said, see, this one's doing, A lot of people gathered, I said to myself, oh, these guys acting, they don't know. So when they were done, I said, you go and tell her that the meeting has finished. You should be going home. He went and touched her and said, you can stop. I think she got a little bit offended. The problem, why did you even get offended? They say you can stop. If you're in the spirit, how did you hear that they say you should stop? Then she stopped. She was not close to me because I never allowed that to happen. I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to feel proud before you, but it's the truth. I helped myself. I helped myself very, very well. I learned to listen to people that are far ahead of me. They warned me against women. I warned myself against women. So if she chats me on Togo or WhatsApp, if you chat me and I feel like you are attacking my soul, I'll block you. So when she chatted me, I blocked her. That's how it is. Before we know, she got pregnant. Not just that. See, I have a lot of stories to tell you, but they are not edifying. Are you listening to me? They are not. There was one small boy that time. When we were growing up, they were very small. It's just like when we were growing up in the spirit, they were still wearing pampers. In all humility. And one time we heard one of our... You see, that is why sometimes it's painful. When you are raising people and they don't want to listen to you because of familiarity. When a fellowship, we had one of our sisters where he prayed to that young man. He just metamorphosed and said he's a prophet. Then he started meetings. And he invited this sister that used to come to our fellowship. She went and he laid with her. I will never forget my pain. I felt so bad. And that was her first time. Now she refused. He forced himself on her. He's still on posters till today. As I'm talking to you, he's still preaching on posters. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. And what is he preaching? Potter's dimension. One time I saw him saying the mystery of thunder. I looked at the tail. I said, I wish I can thunder this one with slap. He said, if you build your life on Christ, the gates of hell will not work. You see all this, trust the systems of the spirit. You see all this demonstration you are seeing on Facebook. Somebody will come and shout and do chest like this. You'll be like you want to mad. Check the scripture. If it doesn't make sense, discard it. You're not going anywhere believing all of those junks. Are you listening to me? Today I was watching Facebook and somebody said he went to a trance and he met Abraham and Jonas. And they told him they want to vet the preachers in Africa. So when they put yellow on your head, you are true. When they put green on your head, you are false. I'll be red. So he was in the spirit and he was seeing. He said there were very few people in Africa that were good preachers. So he said for him, he passed the first stage as the most qualified. He passed the second stage, only him, the most qualified. He passed the third stage. Fourth stage, most qualified. Fifth stage, they now say he's not qualified. They now say, why? He now woke up on the vision. So me and I said, okay, thank God they say you are not even qualified. You don't even know why you are not qualified. Me, I know why you are not qualified. You know, it's a terrible place. They say you are not qualified. The angel now stop the vision. So you don't even know your problem. I think that's a good place to be. Now look at all these kind of crazy things. You are in the spirit with Abraham and Jonas. Because you are talking to babies who just carry feeding bottle. And I looking at you, that thing is me. If you find people that don't know the Bible, you can lie those kind of lies. And if you observe, as we are getting wiser, the lies are reducing. Right now, there are certain lies that cannot prevail. You know, one time I heard the same person said, God told him there are only 5 apostles in the world who are verified. And one of the apostles left. So, and I said, now that one has left, has God added another to it? You know, there are some things you do that you just disgrace yourself publicly. One have left. So now, I don't know what is happening in the spirit. Since there are 5, God called you and said you have 5 verified. That's how to know somebody is in big error. 5 verified. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's time to wake up. You know, one of the things that is making the prophetic even decay little by little. Let me just tell you people something. Are you enjoying this bit? Abi, you don't like what I'm saying. Should I go home? Say the truth. Should I go? There's one of the things that, you know, for instance, now,
I was sharing with you people.
Whenever we say things like this, it is quite disturbing, because even to us saying it, because some people will just come against us. There are some people now who their goal is to stand as watchmen and make sure nobody talks against the apostle, not against God, though, against the apostle. Are you listening to me? And some of these men that are calling themselves those names, they feel like they are gateways in this world, that if nobody comes to them, the person will not go anywhere. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So most of these young people are just gathered there. Alright? One time, I saw a movie. I will never stop talking about that movie. I was tempted to watch the movie. I watched it too, because it was everywhere. They call it Prophet Suddenly. I saw everything, yeah. It made a lot of sense. No compromise in the faith. You know, make sure you're not... Be careful as a preacher. Because the truth is that if everybody is sinning a particular sin, right? If you're a preacher that God has ordained for something, if you go and sin that sin, it's on your head, the problem will start happening on that sin. It's the truth. If everybody used to carry women, you, man of God, that God has called, the day you carry, is you that will go and carry mommy water. Everybody will be, it's only you that will truly go and carry mommy water. It's the truth. And I like that part. Then they now say, when he carried the mommy water, the mommy water name was Mio Kuku Sheshe. So anytime he says it, you know what now pain me? Anytime he says Mio Kuku, Mio Kuku Abi, Mio Kuku Sheshe. Anytime he says it, then his eyes are open to, that's where pain me. Is he prophetic they now brought inside? Why is it that anytime he says it, he will not lie that he went to the spirit and he saw several angels and they lie? Why didn't he not talk that one? I think we should do another movie called Apostle Suddenly. That was my pain. You know, they are making you people hate the prophetic, all of you seated here. So that some of you, if you see the true oil of the prophetic, you may be asking, hey, you sure say this one is not me or Kuku Shoshe? Why? Then I tell you, Paul in scripture saw a woman prophesying. He told her to keep quiet. Paul prophesied. He said, you people are about to travel to Rome. I'm seeing a storm. Is that not prophecy? Did it not happen? Jesus prophesied to that woman 5 years back. Is it not prophetic? Prophetic littered all around scripture. You know, my pain was that they made it look as if it is only the devil that can give you the ability to be prophetic. We understand they are fake prophets. We understand a lot of harm has been done to the prophetic office. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? You know, one time I was praying and I was telling the Lord, I want to change my name to Reverend Simon Thomas, because I don't like the word Prophet Simon Thomas. It makes people to think twice about me. I tell you the truth. While I was even talking with Bishop Teuma, he said something. He said, Prophet Simon, I know you're going to be a different prophet. Nothing brought that thing, but you know what brought that statement? The name Prophet. If not, nothing would have inspired him to say something like that. We're just talking. He said, Prophet Simon. I just know you'll be a different prophet. If somebody had said Pastor Simon, he would have not said, I know you'll be a different pastor. Because there's nothing tied to what? No wrong thing tied to that. So I was tempted to change myself to Reverend Simon Thomas. Doesn't this sound cute? I prayed about it. Oh, Pastor Simon. Just leave it at Pastor Simon. I prayed. So I was talking to one of my friends about it. I said, I think I'm changing my name to Pastor Simon. I don't want that. That prophet has caused me a lot of harm. And look at what prophets are doing. He now said, if you run away from your office, you know you're a prophet. He said, how do you think? He said, firstly, do you think the prophetic office is false? I said, no, it's not false. He said, how do you think God will bring a change to the prophetic office if you run away from it? I said, somehow he will bring a change. He's God all by himself. Then he told me, God seeks for a man to stand in the gap. Are you aware? And he said, don't ever make that mistake. He said, that will be the greatest mistake of your ministry. I'll never forget. He's very prophetic, the young man. I slept over it and I woke up. I said, I'm here for a purpose. So when I watched the movie, I didn't know that my spirit will attack that thing. In fact, I was enjoying the movie. See, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, son, there's a problem here. Then, when they do verse 2, I rushed to watch verse 2. Part 2, I mean. I think they did part two. I rushed to watch. I didn't finish it. I was trying to look for where they will now make it look like the prophetic can be real. You know, there's the original side. They did not still do it. They still insulted the prophetic office. I said that film is a useless movie. That's what I just said. Right now, in fact, people that call themselves prophet are rejecting the office of a prophet. But that office remains. In fact, we're starting one of these we'll do, let's say, is called School of the Prophets. We'll teach the prophetic, we'll strengthen that grace here till everybody start prophesying. Are you listening to me? Maybe it has not been highlighted so much, that's why you're not experiencing it. We'll choke you with the atmosphere. We'll teach it consciously. It's called the School of the Prophet. We'll teach it consciously till people will feel the cloud of the prophetic and start enjoying it. There's a pure side of the prophetic. Are we together? So things like this are things we should check and consider in Christianity. Nobody holds the staff of Christianity. Nobody. People like us are ready to pay the price. Whether it's prayer, we'll pray. If you are waiting for a day that year that pastor slept with a woman, you will never hear. Online, offline, you are watching. No sister in this town can call me and say, you toast me. I did not agree. I'll go and tell one apostle. You can't. I never toasted anybody. And it is too late to toast. I have two beautiful ladies in my house. It's too late. You know, truly, if you don't live in righteousness, you will not have the impetus to stand for what is true. The devil will use that and weigh you down. Weigh you down. You know what I was talking to somebody, he said, you know, your tribe, something has weighed them down for years. I said, what's that? He said, serpentine spirit. It has made most of them not to rise. He said, you need to fast and pray so that you break that hold. I said, the people that fell, did they fast and pray? He said, yes, they fasted and prayed. I said, that's why they fell. He said, are you okay? Are you mad? I said, yeah. If they fast and pray and fail, why should I fast and pray? Should I fall too? He said, why will you talk like this, Simon? Be careful. Listen to me carefully. Don't think I'm being stupid. If you think serpentine spirit is the reason you are not rising, and you are now fasting on the strength of that knowledge and praying on the strength of that knowledge, you will fall. What inspired your praying and fastings? To block serpentine spirit. You are too small for serpentine spirit. As long as you are praying and all your energy is to block serpentine spirit, you are looking small before it. Your prayer and fasting was fueled by fear, not faith. Instead, if you tell me that, I'll eat a lot of akpu and yangyo to make them understand I'm not scared of them. I'm not conscious of the devil. It's the truth. And I'm not trying to be the first minister from a particular tribe that rose. No, that's not my goal. I'm just preaching the gospel. In fact, I don't care anybody knowing my tribe. I've never come and say, hey, I'm from this tribe. And what? No. If you come for a meeting from that tribe alone, I will not go attend. I don't belong to all of those things. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, sometimes I see people say, Idoma, fellowship meeting. TV for every fellowship meeting, Igede fellowship meeting. And when they go there, if you hear what they are saying, you think they are praying to God. We're trying to see who should be the best. All of those things are not necessary. There's nothing like Idoma in the spirit. There's nothing like TV in the spirit. You are the one carrying it on your head. I hope you know that in the realm of the spirit, in the new heavens and new earth, nobody will say quiet undeva. Huh? Nobody will say Kedu. The only shame that people will enjoy, there are those that said, you are from this tribe, I'll not marry you. They are going to be the greatest comedy in the parousia. We'll laugh at you people. Especially Igede people. They say they will not marry thief people. I hope you know the people that wrote that law, some of them are in hell. They say they won't perform sacrifice. They must be in hell. There is no way about it. There are no two ways about it. So if you are here and you are eager to hear the voice of the Lord, if God say marry a thief woman, go ahead and marry. Nothing will happen to you. They say you people's children used to die, right? Huh? That's how you test whether you are a true Christian. Marry. They will not die. Not under this prophetic and evangelistic mantle. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. I hope you had fun listening to the word today. So go home and make sure what you have heard is a light for your path. Don't be threatened by activities. Do you understand? You check Facebook, people are just... Don't be threatened. The MTS vessels, they make the loudest noise. Don't be threatened. When they are finished, the Bible says, you know the purity and maturity of a man by their words. That's what the book of James said. When you are done saying all of those things, let's hear what you are saying. They say, who is Jesus? Then Jesus, you now say something crazy. Why are you fasting? Because we are fasting against a witch. All of you gathered there behaving like robots are fighting. You are praying against a witch. Because if she will not die, she will not kill you people. What a waste of prayer. Sit down with the Bible. Sit down. You know, I heard somebody saying, why I'm against this is because I'm supposed to stand for it. He said, we used to be Christocentric. Let me end with this. He said, we used to be Christocentric until one of our brother that was teaching us died. I said, see this liar. Christocentric till somebody's Christocentric, he now died. Which killed him. He was not Christocentric. And then, so when I understood it, and I said, they are altars. So I started fighting altars. Then people, you know, when they say things like that, it makes the gullible really follow them. Gullible. They will follow them and say, we're not Christocentric again. How can you speak against being Christocentric? You are Antichrist. Antichrist. That's what you are. Check what they are practicing. Nonsense. Somebody that looks at scripture and tell you that Jesus said, and I pray for your enemies. That's part of the Bible. It's not for him. He looks at what Jesus said. It's not for him. You want to kill your enemies. And we're talking about new creations. If those things that happened in the Old Testament were okay, he would have not come in the New Testament. Are you listening to me? There's a reason for this. He wants to raise a new people, a kingdom age. Are you listening to me? Stand with the truth. And don't make Christianity become a mocking stuff. Don't make it. Stand with the truth so much. It's not time to date. Don't date. You can't be on fire like this, love Jesus, and allow one guy outside to be toasting you anyhow. He does not know God is toasting you and you are laughing, you are shining your teeth. You are a disgrace to Christianity. Go to club already. Leave us alone. Are you listening to me? Know what you want. Oh, you are in church. They are dragging you from the world. They are dragging you. There's a cut off from that boy. They say, sir, can I not change my boyfriend? Why do you think you like those boys? They don't fast, they don't pray. They are full, they are just empty, full of flesh and food. That's why they have big chest. I'm not trying to beef, I'm not jealous. That's why they have big neck and the rest. They are okay, are fasting in church, they are praying in church. That's why they are not big. You don't know that if you give them food when you marry them now, they'll be better than those boys. Huh? Richard, if you are in the world now, what will you be like? Hulk Hogan. But now that we catch you in the kingdom, do you have time for those things? That's what some of you are eyeing. You're full. Fire! I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Fire! Fire! You now come and sit here. Hey, whoa. All your Christianity will end in chest and beards. Then you think when you go, heaven is a goal. You go there one day, you now see Jesus, you now say, welcome. They will flog you. See, I know they will flog some people in the palace. I'm very sure. Somebody say, how do you know they will flog? Did Jesus not flog on the earth? It's not a new thing. Wake up and be bold about your faith. Lastly, don't allow anybody to deceive you. There are some people Satan will inspire just to make sure you leave this path of truth. There's nothing they will not tell you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Nothing. If you want to know their force, look at their life. Learn from their life. The one that have gone out and say he wants to go and travel on his own, watch them. Where are they today? Are you listening to me? Learn from their life. Misery like companion. Learn from them. There are some people in this town, they don't like what they call church. They don't like order. They can't be here and be sitting down hearing the word. They'll be touching their phone. I said, what, touching his phone? I hope he was just calm. The Holy Spirit just said, be calm. Maybe God wants him, God wants to give him another opportunity. I would have driven him from the church. Hallelujah to Jesus. They can't sit down where there's order. They must create this order. They say I should come and sing in one Thanksgiving. They say I should come and back up somewhere. You have a local church. They say I should come and sing in one. Your service, God wants to speak to you in the morning. They say I should come and back up for one. You've been foolish. That's not Christianity. Are you listening to me? And it's happening everywhere. That is why you see the same people are the one misbehaving in the body of Christ. Misbehaving. No pastor. They are not accountable to anybody. That's why I tell some of you see somebody sing on stage or rap on stage, don't carry your eye and be looking like you have seen Jesus. Be sensible. You may be 100 times spiritual than that person you are seeing. Are you all listening to me? Be wise. I'm not saying all of them are like that. I say some. Let's work with order. One time I spoke about somebody that was here. He would not partner or do anything. But I told the church not to tell him anything about partnering. So one time he left and wanted to do concert. He now put on Facebook that he needs some funds, over 100,000 or more. So I told Pastor Emma, I said, is it not the same person that couldn't partner in your choir? That is gathering money for concerts. It means that this is not the agenda of God is trying to push. It's his own agenda. Because if you truly love God, you would have done like that while you were in the choir. Then I said, allow him. That one has his brain. Has God. And there are a lot of people advising you. You know, same person came to me. Let me show you how wicked humanity can be. He came to me and said, sir, they say I should not follow you. That time he was so hot in church. I said, why? That's why I want some of you, don't go and be sitting down with people that are talking against me and coming to tell me. I didn't send you. Before you know, you become a victim of what they are saying. And he came and said, sir, they say you don't have a spiritual father. I said, I have a spiritual father. He died. And he said, oh, they say I should not follow you because you don't have a spiritual father. I said, he died. You know, I went for introduction. And I think they made some findings about me, and I'm sure they got that. That's one of the first things you know about me, that I don't have a spiritual father. That is the extended family, some sort of. So while we're talking, Pastor Ed was there. I say, the lady just went straight. Who is your spiritual father? I say, it's late. She's not even part of the family, just extended kind of. I say, it's late, man. You know, if you are going to marry, you have to be very humble. And I advise everybody be like that. And I say, it's late, ma. And she said, oh, so why don't you have another one? I said, is this one mad? In my heart, are you stupid? I said, my spiritual father is late. You are saying, why will you not have another one? You couldn't even say so sorry. You must be very mad and out of your mind. And out of anger, I wanted to say some things. My father was just drawing my trouser. You know, maybe I should warn some of you. It's not that we came to carry gold, we came to marry. So we didn't come to look for help. So I said, she said, why don't you have another one? I did not answer. She then said, I warn you, if you come back to this house without a spiritual father, you will not marry in this house. Hey, the Holy Ghost rose. Me, if I brag small for you, me, God have mercy. Let me not sin this evening. Me, deserve punishment. I don't want to brag. So, I looked at her. I said, if this is why you don't want to give me a wife, I'm not marrying. Ah, everywhere scattered. I said, yeah, it's okay, everybody stop, it's okay. Mother-in-law consoled everybody. I said, don't forget, we accept him like that. Well, imagine the threat. That's what some of these people are doing. I mean, most of you, I asked you that question one time, you answered me here. They will try to, Paul said it in scripture. They will come and people are liberty in Christ and go and try to make sure you don't believe what you are saying and paint us all black. All these things because of the word of God that we are passing to you. They know the quality of the information you are receiving. The devil knows, if they don't even know. Remember Peter, like I started, he didn't know he was being used. These are some of them don't know they are being used by the devil. They don't know. And that's why he tries to bring division and the rest. You know, one time, one of the boys I was raising came to me. He said, son, somebody told me that we had problem and I rose up to fight you one day. I said, somebody told you that? He said, yes. I said, that's a foolish person that told you. You will rise up to fight me one day. I said, I will push you. He said, sir, I didn't mean it like that. I said, okay. How can somebody tell you that you have problem with me? You now rose, you want to fight. When did I even carry hand and do like this to fight you? Me. You can never rise to that point. Some foolish people will come and sit down. That time on campus, we'll be praying, they'll be seeing prophecy. Mumu, mumu, people. If we catch any of them, we have to. That's why. Why do you think that prophecy don't work in this church? Because they know that we'll finish them. It is where foolishness travels that it flows. How come a man of God be teaching? You will be in a congregation seeing for the man of God. So the man of God that is preaching cannot see. Like when I started a relationship with Mama T, somebody told her that she's traveling to Abuja, she will die on the road. Me, a pastor. Is it that I'm so much in love that I've stopped seeing for her? Then I said, carry moto, don't pray, travel to Abuja. She went and came back and said, did you die? She said, no. I said, block that guy's number. He's a fake prophet. We even went and came back without praying. So wake up. Somebody will come and tell you, I see ministry. Their life, look at it. Does it have direction? The people tell you what they are. If you truly are prophetic, look at their life. Where are they even going to? Are you listening to me? Yeah. Oh, we're growing up. I remember one time I heard somebody on campus, he called, same person I think, called one of my lady. That time the lady was not a pastor. Say, I saw, what did he even say? He said, the Lord wants to use in a dimension. You should not be wearing earring. Another time I heard he carried sand to baptize somebody. You know, foolish people will not know all these things. So they have reasons to say, we have bared a lot of things as Jews. And I always tell people, be careful talking against a Jew before I end this service. Before Joshua was Joshua, who knew him until was it not when he encountered Moses that he was known? Nobody would have known who Joshua was until he encountered Moses. Nobody would have known who Elisha was until he encountered Elijah. You can call, nobody would have known who Abioye was until he encountered Bishop Oyedepo. Nobody would have known who Reverend Tom is until he encountered Pastor Chris. Then why are we saying things like foolish people? Some people are just interested in division. Be careful. Some of these people cannot come out to speak for themselves. But be very what? Careful. If the wrath of God fall upon you. When I hear people say nonsense things that somebody left because the man of God is misbehaving, I'm wondering, who would have even known you? The person you are selling, who would have known the person? Whether we like it or not, some people's destiny are revealed in other people's destiny. Whether we like it or not, that's how it is. Some people misbehaving that have left there and are misbehaving, nobody would have known them until they pass through this place. Nobody would have given them the right hand of fellowship. Are you all here?
Yes,
this one should be called Order in the Church Part 2. I think we need order in the church, right? Part 1. This one should be Part 2. Order in the house of the Lord, right? So go and listen to this sermon again. Hear it and hear it again. Are we together? But you know that some people shouting and looking all cozy and the rest is not a proof that they are spiritual. That somebody comes and is, you know, not a proof that you are spiritual. Check your Bible. Are we together? Be calm with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Bow your heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the entrance of your word, for it giveth life and understanding to the simple. We know, Lord, our lives can never remain the same again. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.